change around my team. Yeah, we off the leash. You could look us in the eyes and see we have peace. Black and gold, that's the colors when we go to war. When we step up on that field, you gon' hear my roar. We them tiger cats, we them tiger cats. We them tiger cats, we them tiger cats.
Yeah, nobody hitting harder. Better keep your guard up. Cause with everything we draw, we can score it when we wanna.
Welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Mike, free agency is here. We are on the eve. It is Monday night, February 11th. We're on the eve of free agency. It's about to kick off at noon on Tuesday. Lots of stuff to talk about on the show this week. But we have to talk about can we use the Bozo Slapdick moniker for the top of the show this? Because this whole Travell Pinto situation, the young man who was suspended for 2 years because he was found to have cocaine in his system, kind of the story exploded on social media, you know, thanks to our boy Justin Dunk, who I believe broke the story. Everyone and their grandmother came out to kind of harangue this kid. I took a beating on social media over the last week, kind of defending it, not saying, hey, it's okay to do cocaine, but saying that the two-year suspension I thought was ridiculously excessive, and that, look, we might not agree with the vices that guys do, but let's not make this out to be like, I saw some tweets where it was like, I don't feel sorry for this kid because he did cocaine. You and I have talked about this. I'll be honest. You and I have spoken about this at length via text message, and I just feel like people are just really killing this kid for something that's not that big a deal. Honestly, I don't think it's that big a deal.
I don't think it is either. I would lean, if I was a political person, I would lean libertarian in this sense of, I don't give a crap what you put into your body. You know, in the sports sense, if it's steroids or it's performance enhancing, then I think they should be punished because they're cheating the game. The only person they're cheating in this situation is themselves. I don't condone cocaine use, obviously, but you know, the kid is a kid. He's a young man. He is going to make some mistakes. Maybe he was out at a party. Maybe he was offered something. Maybe he just tried it for the first time. We don't know the details. But to be suspended for 2 years is extremely harsh in my mind. And all these people that are jumping all over the kid, I don't know. I guess they just never made a mistake in their life, and they were never young and stupid. I know I was at one point, so I have a little bit of compassion for a young man who, you know, clearly made a mistake and, you know, well, maybe it's not even a mistake, you know. Maybe he wanted to do this, but I just don't think that it affects his play on the field at all. So to me, it's a non-issue.
Well, to me, it's the 2 year suspension. That's just so harsh for something like this. And I'm with you on this, man. Yes, he's a young man, but he's a man and he can make decisions on his own. Whatever you want to put, that's up to you. If you're not harming anyone else, and I just don't see why anyone should care what you put in your body. And something you and I talked about, if he got blackout drunk and vomited all over himself, no one would bring this up. And people can say, well, alcohol is legal. Alcohol kills people too. There, whether it be alcohol poisoning or whether it be drunk driving or whether it be getting loaded and doing something extremely stupid, like, alcohol is a dangerous substance, just like cocaine is, just like heroin is, just like all of these things. They're vices that people use, whether it's to unwind, whether it's to take the edge off, whatever reason you use any sort of substance or alcohol, whatever it is, if you're not harming anyone else, I don't see the issue. So I just look at this, and again, look, he knew if he got caught, he was facing the suspension. I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished for breaking the rules. I just think that above all else, this is just absolutely asinine for this. And the thing that maybe bugs me the most out of this, he's being bumped from this year's draft for a substance the CFL doesn't test for. They don't test for cocaine. So he could have, if this would have happened post-draft and he'd already been drafted, and he can sit there and do rails and rails all he wants because the CFL will never test for it. But yet the CFL is going to impose a sanction on him. To me, that's ass backwards logic. Makes absolutely no sense. And for it to be like he's going to lose a year of his career, I don't know. It just seems like it's a lot for something that, in my mind, it to me isn't that big an issue, honestly.
Yeah, it's funny how people, if it's illegal, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. You know what I mean? Like, pot was illegal for,
up until what, 4 months ago, 5 months
yeah,
ago,
it's
it was
like
illegal.
People, because it's legal or illegal, people take this moral stance. It's like you have to be told by the government to make your decisions on what's morally right and what you can put in your body. It's silly to me. And I hope this kid, if he has a problem, then I hope he, gets some help. But if he doesn't, then I wish him all the best as well. I mean, if he's a good football player, I hope that he can make it to the next level and not be held down by this positive test.
All right. With that out of the way, let's talk about what I'm sure most of our listeners want us to talk about, and that is the latest news from Ty Cats Land, Mike, and it's some big news. We're sitting here on Monday. During the day, this afternoon and this morning, two players that were on the list, two players that I was unsure of, their continued Hamilton Tiger Cats tenure, both inked multi-year extensions. We're talking the man himself, Hove, Simone Lawrence, signed a two-year deal. And I think the big one, Delvin Bro, signed a three-year contract to remain with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Mike, how many jigs did you do today after you heard both of those signings were fait accompli, done, signed, in the books, ready to go, they're Tie Cats again? How happy were you?
I was extremely happy. Two leaders, on defense that have been around on this Ticats team for a while. Devin Bro, obviously we know, went down south for a while but came back, signed a multi-year contract, which is phenomenal. These guys, especially Bro. I love Simone. He's a great linebacker, but Bro is just such a difference maker that to have him back for multiple years is, makes me very, very happy. I was expecting, if he did sign, I was expecting maybe one, tops 2 years, but a 3 year commitment is huge for this Ticats defense.
A 3 year commitment at 29, which means this pact ends when he's 32. That means he's essentially shut the door on going back to the NFL. And 32 is not old, especially now in football when we see guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady playing well into their 40s. But 32, that tells me that he is basically accepted that he is a CFL lifer. He's a handsomely paid one. He's still going to be the league's highest paid defensive back, barring someone in free agency getting more money than him, although I can't really see how anyone could make the argument that they should be paid more than Delvin Bro, because like you said, he allows the Ticats defense to do so many things because he is, and I hate this term because for every shutdown corner, you always hear about the island, right? But you put him on an island, you just say, you're taking whoever the receiver is on the short side of the field, and Delvin Bro takes them away, makes them non-existent. The team sent out I'm sure you saw the tweet, the video of the Bermuda Triangle, and that's very true. That's what he does. He takes those boundary receivers and makes them invisible. But the three-year deal is big just because, like I said, like that kind of means that he's basically going to be a Hamilton Tiger Cat until he decides he doesn't want to be a football player anymore, because I can't see any way in which this pact comes to an end and they don't try to bring him back if he still wants to play. And the idea that Dalvin Bro could play another three, well, we know he's going to play at least another 3 years with the Ticats, makes me very happy with him on this defense. And with Lawrence, I know we gave him some shots last week because he took some shots at our boy JD, but I have some questions about the signing just because his numbers have ticked down in the last couple of years. But he is kind of the heart and soul of this defense. He's the guy that leads the chants at the beginning of the game at midfield. Like, he is sort of the vocal leader of this squad. And I just wonder if maybe he's the first domino. Like, all three of those linebackers were free agents. You get him signed. As we've seen, I'm sure if you've seen, I'm sure people listening seen on Twitter, he's been after Larry Dean. Bro's been after Don Unamba to come back. Like, it's this sort of thing where you see everyone's starting to come back. And the Ticats have signed in the last few weeks. Talked about on last week's episode, all the guys that they have brought back in the last little while. Re-signing a lot of their core veterans, re-signing a lot of their guys, not letting them hit the market. These guys want to play here, and I think that says a lot about where this franchise is headed in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about their coaching staff too. These guys want to play for these coaches, you know, Orlando, June Jones on offense. You know, there's a lot of excitement about this coaching staff. So, I to be honest, I was really surprised that we've signed all these guys. I mean, I would have expected no big names to sign until the CBA was agreed upon, but I guess I was way off on that one.
I think we all were. Like, even the stuff we've talked about, like with Mike Riley, we're going to talk about Mike Riley in a bit. Sounds like he's going to sign before a CBA is done. I think that was a lot of posturing by some players. At the end of the day, these guys, even if there's no bonus money coming in or anything like that, there is some sense of stability. You know what I mean? Like, there is some sense of they know where they're going to be in a couple of months' time. I'm not sure if this helps or hurts negotiations for a new CBA, but it look, we're going to talk about the CBA for a lot of this offseason until a new one's signed. I'm just happy that some of the players on this team are coming back. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm like, yeah, the CBA, and that sucks as a conversation point, and there's definitely tensions, but I'm just over the moon. Like, when I came home, I literally walked in the door and my brother's like, Bro signed. And I was like, wait, what? Because I was at work. I didn't know. I knew Lawrence had signed. I saw that on my lunch break. I didn't know Dalvin Bro had signed. So, like, that just brought a smile to my face. So I just want to just focus on the football aspect of this because, man, that CBA thing's going to hang over our head like a certain former Ticats quarterback that we refused to talk about for many months last year.
You know, and it's great to have all these guys back, but let me just, you know, just take a little dump on everyone's head here.
Of course.
We were an 8-10 team last year, and these are the guys that were, you know, playing on the field. So we're a losing team. Let's not get too carried away.
They got to the East Final, Mike. Don't take too big a dump. And
well,
hold on. They were 8-10. They did not play to win that final game of the season. Dane Evans started at quarterback, and a bunch of guys sat. They would have at least been 9-9, which I know is not exactly puffing our chest out. And quite frankly, I do have questions around this team, and I do agree with you. This is the same team that did go 8-10 last year. And as far as I'm concerned, until they can prove they can beat the Ottawa Redblacks, I'm still going to wonder if this team can get over the hump to get back to the Grey Cup. I know it sounds crappy to say at this point. You know, it's the new year is about to start with free agency and all that stuff, and we're all supposed to be positive, but I do agree with you a little bit on this one, Mike. And I normally I'm the guy who's like Mr. Positivity when it comes to you being like, they're not a winning team and yada yada yada, but yeah, you make a valid point.
Yeah, we just gotta, you know, keep our fingers crossed. Now I hope I'm wrong, but we did make it to the East Final. You are right, but I just hate going into the playoffs with a losing record. You know this.
I'm with you. I hate the fact that they went 8-10 last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But these guys, the players that they've signed, you know, I'm very high on, obviously. So I'm very happy they're back. I think it's beneficial to the team. And maybe we'll add some pieces tomorrow, but we'll talk about that
We'll
in a
talk
little
about that
bit.
in a bit. A couple other guys that have re-signed in the last week. Kerryl Brooks signed a two-year extension. And do you remember that he was an All-Star last year? An East Division All-Star?
I did not until I read the story about him signing.
Yeah, had kind of a quiet year for an All-Star caliber player. 57 tackles, led the team with 4 interceptions, tied for the team lead with 3 forced fumbles. But that's a pretty good season from, and that's Bro's battery mate there on the boundary side. So you can see that he gets a little bit more action than number 24 simply because they got to throw to someone on that side. So, you know, he obviously was an All-Star, had a pretty good season. The other guy they brought back, Richard Leonard, signed a 1-year extension. I think we talked about him quite a bit last year and how he seemed to have regressed a bit. His numbers were down, 51 tackles and just 1 interception, which are down from his rookie season where he had 72 tackles and 7 picks. He also missed 5 games last year. So when I saw he resigned, I was kind of surprised because I wasn't sure the team was going to bring him back. But I imagine they look and go, he had one really good year. He had one really bad one. We give him 1-year deal. Let's see if he can bounce back and go back to how he was as a rookie. And if he does, great. Then they can negotiate a longer-term extension next offseason. If not, it's only a 1-year deal. Probably not for a lot of money. They can get rid of him, find another guy. Like, I understand from both his logic and the team's logic why they might bring him back. But I hope we can get rookie Leonard back as opposed to the guy we saw last year. Because the guy we saw last year wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't. And maybe it's a... You know, maybe he didn't fit in well with Glanville's schemes.
Possible.
I'm hoping that was the issue because, you know, in his rookie season, Glanville wasn't there and he performed tremendously. He was one of the bright spots on that team, especially in the first half of the season. But, yeah, hopefully he can regain that rookie performance and he can become a, you know, one of the best DBs on this team once again.
So we're talking about Bro. We're talking about Brooks. We're talking about Leonard. Last week we talked about Daly. Jamal Roll, the other corner from last year, we know is returning. Like, this team has, like, their starting secondary set. How many years have we been doing this show, and what's one of the major talking points we've always brought up? Man, they got to get that secondary in order. Man, they got to get that secondary in order. Well, they have it done in early February. Like, maybe there's going to be some changes, but we're going to go into... Before free agency kicks off, we kind of know who the starters are going to be, and that has not been the case in the history of the show. It's always been who's going to play this, who's going to play that. This feels weird. Feels very weird.
It does feel very weird, very weird. But maybe we have to look at another positioning group to worry about this offseason. I'm not sure exactly which one that would be. I would look at the offensive line. I'm always worried about that, though, so. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think if we did this podcast in like 1999, you would be like, I don't know about this offensive line. Like,
right.
That
they gave
just
up
seems to
like
always...
6 sacks in the whole season.
Yeah, well, yeah. They gave up 6. It should really be 5.
Yeah, it should be. It should.
I gotta think linebacker, depending on what they do over the next couple of days, depending on who stays and who doesn't, linebacker could be an area of concern because they could lose 2 all-star players there. But let's get into that. Let's talk about the Ticats who haven't come back. Let's give a little Ticats free agency preview. Let's talk about, first off, let's get into it. Who do you want back that has yet to be re-signed? Who are some of the names, 3 to 4 or 5 players that top your list of guys and go, I want him back in black and gold?
Well, I'm looking at that offensive line, and, you know, Mike Filer, I'd love to see him back. That would be my number one guy to bring back because I just think that he's that leader on the offensive line. He's been groomed in Hamilton. You know, he's progressed, I think, each year. So to bring back the leader on that offensive line would be huge for the Ticats.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Filer hasn't been re-signed. Local guy, I believe he's from Brantford, spent pretty much his entire career with the Ticats. He was drafted by Calgary, but once they cut him, Ticats brought him in. They let Marwan Hage go for Filer to start. He started ever since, and I'm not sure if I'd put him in the upper echelon of centers in the CFL, but he's definitely been more than serviceable. Yeah, it's a little surprising to me that he hasn't inked a new deal yet, but maybe he wants to see what his value is on the open market, and you can't really blame a guy for that. I talked about linebackers early on. Two guys that I got at the top of my list, Larry Dean and Don Unamba. Both were All-Stars last year. Unamba was a divisional, a league, and a PA All-Star. At the same linebacking position, where this team has gone through player after player after player since Eric Harris was he wasn't let go. He left to go play in the NFL. He's starting for the Oakland Raiders in the NFL. So it's clear that he had the talent to play NFL ball to begin with. We were lucky enough to get him up here for 3 years, but he's got a shot. He's making it. They went through the list of players. I've probably forgotten more of the names than I can remember. Unamba came in and was a stud from essentially day one last year. To lose him after they've groomed him into this position, I think would be a huge mistake. Larry Dean, what more can you say about Larry Dean? He was the league's the East's top defensive player last year. Tackle machine. He's been a beast in the middle of that linebacking core for a couple of years now. I'm sure he's going to fetch a pretty penny wherever he goes. So if I had to pick one, I think I'd rather have Unamba back, because I think that you can find a middle linebacker. But, man, to lose both of these guys this offseason would kind of suck.
Yeah, I loved watching Unamba play last year. I thought he was one of the best linebackers on the team. And there's, you got Simone, you got Larry Dean. They're both tremendous players. But I thought Don Unamba really stood out. So to get him back would be massive. And Larry Dean, obviously is, in my opinion, one of the best linebackers in the league. So if we could get that trio back, it would help out this team a bunch. I mean, if we could sign back our linebackers, I don't know if it's going to happen, but if we could get one of the two, I'd be pretty pleased.
Two other guys I got on my list, the last two, I don't know who you have, but I don't know if you'd agree with these. They come from the receiver position. One of them's Chris Williams, and I don't think he'll be back. I'd only like to see him back because I'd like to see what he could do in the June Jones offense. This was the guy we had before Brandon Banks was here, and I would kind of like to see what a full – and I know he's hurt, so he probably wouldn't really even have a full offseason with the team. But to get him integrated into the offense to see what he could do, I still think he's got a lot of gas left in the tank. I think he was just starting to get comfortable in the offense when he got hurt last year. So I would really like to see him come back, really like to see what he could do. And the one guy, and if we rewound this a year and you said that I would say this, I would say you're a goddamn liar and I want to punch you in the face. Mike Jones has got to come back. Mike Jones has to come back. The second leading receiver amongst Canadians. We went through all the down of Mike Jones with the hitting him in the face with the ball and the drops to finally seeing him become a near 1,000-yard receiver. To lose him after all this developmental time would be a giant kick in the nuts. We got to get Mike Jones back. He wouldn't top my list, but he's damn near the top, because I don't want to see him flourish elsewhere and go, man, we had to put up with all the garbage. Now someone else gets to reap the rewards. That just wouldn't be fair, damn it.
It would not. I really want to see Mike Jones back as well. I mean, we talked about it last episode, how he progressed throughout the season. And, he's one of the best Canadian receivers in the league right now. And I know that's not really saying much, because there's not a lot of – well, I wouldn't say there's not a lot of talent. I'll just say there's not a lot of standout players playing receiver that are Canadian right now. So to get him back, add him to this offense, which I think he fits in well to this scheme. He's a fast, shorter receiver. I think he could be a 1,000-yard guy. And saying that now, after we bashed him for so long, seems a little crazy, but we're totally turning. We didn't bash him, but we
were a little rough on him. We analyzed his contributions to the squad. I will stick to that. We changed our opinion on him when he started playing better ball. That's how this should work.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that I think he would be a great addition to this team. So to add him to the mix, I would be overjoyed. And Chris Williams, I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Williams back as well, because, there is that explosive potential. There is that putting him in this offense and just seeing what he could do after he gets, gets healthy and gets acclimated again. He could be know, he can be a threat once again in this league. And if it's not on Hamilton, I think it'll be somewhere else. So, you know, if we bring him back, that would be awesome too. Another guy that I'd like to see come back is Adrian Tracy. You know, a veteran on the defensive line. He's been a good player for this team. So to bring him back would be a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that. For me, Tracy, he's an interesting case because I feel like he's good but not great. Like, he had a lot of promise and never fulfilled it to the extent that we thought he would. But I still think he's a good player. You sometimes see those good players, those what I like to call the middle class of free agents, kind of get squeezed out. He's also a little older at 32, although he is setting down roots kind of in the Hamilton community and in Canada. He seems like one of those guys that will probably stay in Canada after his career is over. I believe I'm not sure if he lives here full time now, but I do know that he's here quite a bit. I would like to see him. He's one of those guys I think a lot of fans like too. He's very much in that Simone Lawrence vein. He's a little more out there, kind of not necessarily as in your face as Simone is, but yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Trace return. That's the one thing this team kind of needs is that bookend rush end opposite Jamal Westerman and Justin Capocatti, who are going to kind of split reps on the one side. I don't think bringing Tracy back would be a bad idea at all.
No, and, you know, just looking at the names here, Riker Matthews, damn you, NFL.
And he went to the Patriots, too. Like, I can't even cheer for his success.
Yeah, but, you know, if he goes to any team, that would be the team that, you know, they seem to find diamonds in the rough and, you know, maybe before we know it, he'll be a starting lineman in the NFL. But we're gonna miss him. He was a young stud at that position.
He was a beast. So now he gets to protect Tom Brady for the next 65 years of Brady's career because yes. Brady's never retiring. He's gonna be 109 years old. It's gonna be like he's in his 57th Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, it's not a surprise.
As long as they can protect him, he can play for a couple more years. That's for sure.
Please no. Anyway, let's move on to kind of the guys on the outside positions we kind of think the Ticats might need to look at, and maybe a player or two that you think the team could look at those positions. So I'll get us started with one of your favorite positions, the offensive line. We know Mike Filer's not back, and you mentioned Riker Matthews. So this team has some holes on the offensive line that they could need filling. And if you can't beat them, join them. I'm not sure if that really works. I guess if you always beat them, maybe go steal from them. I don't know. But there's a couple of guys that used to play for the Ottawa Red Blacks that I think could fit in nicely in Hamilton. If the team loses out on Mike Filer, they could go grab a guy like John Gott to fill that role and to replace kind of Riker Matthews. Even though Riker Matthews was a right tackle, Sir Vincent Rogers is a guy who he said it when he left Toronto and he said it now. He's not into taking discounts. He's going to go to whoever pays him the most. Could you imagine just plopping him on the left side of that offensive line next to Revenberg and hopefully Filer, and we know Sirocco, and then you can kind of have guys like Kelvin Palmer and Avery Jordan and guys like that could battle for that right tackle spot. I don't know. I feel like those two guys could be, if the Ticats need to find some guys to fill the holes on the offensive line, maybe those two guys could be some guys they go after.
Yeah, that would be interesting. You know, build up that offensive line. Give Mazzoli time in the pocket. You know, we know that he can scramble around and escape would-be tacklers, but to protect him and make him comfortable, I think would, you know, greatly help this team. You know, my position on the offensive line. So I'm totally with you there to bring in the best talent we can to protect our star quarterback.
Yeah, when's the last time this team had like a stud left tackle, like not a guy that they've gone out and like gotten on his last legs or anything like that, but a guy that was like offensive lineman of the year caliber, like a Sir Vincent Rogers. Like, I can't think of the last time this team had that like lockdown, just juggernaut of a man on the left side. I can't think of when they would have had that.
Yeah, I can't think of one either. I think it's because
they haven't. You know,
yeah, that, and if teams have a left tackle, they're not going to give him up, you know? It's like if they have a guy that can really play that position, he's not going to get to free agency. They're going to sign him up, and you have to basically you know, build from within to get that position filled usually. I mean, every once in a while, obviously, they're going to be free agents at that position, but I think it's very difficult to find one in free agency.
The other area, you brought up Adrian Tracy, and I don't know if he'll be back, so the other area this team might want to look at is defensive line. I'm going to list three guys here. I don't think these guys will sign in Hamilton. But boy, oh boy, would I like to see Willie Jefferson in black and gold. That guy is a stud of studs. Just go look at the game tape. If you watch any Riders games the last couple of years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's a beast. Jagera Davis is another guy from Calgary. Stud player. Not as good as Willie Jefferson. I think outside of the quarterbacks, the Riley, Mitchell, Harris trio that I think everyone's looking to see where they land, I think Willie Jefferson slots in right there as one of those game-changing, franchise-changing signings that you bring this guy in, he's your big prize, then you fill out the rest of the roster with some rookie Americans. Jagera Davis, I think you can get him. I think he's a really good player. And Sean Lemon, I know a lot of people don't like Sean Lemon. He's bounced around from like 50 different teams in the last like 5 years or whatever it is. He's played for seven of the nine teams in the CFL so far, with Hamilton and Montreal being the two teams he hasn't played with. So just to get number eight on that belt, I'd like to see Sean Lemon sign with the Ticats. Or if he doesn't sign here, sign with the Owls, because Lemon's like 30, so it's legitimately possible that he could play for 10 teams if they ever get that team out in Halifax done. And I want to see that happen. So he's got to sign in Hamilton eventually. Why not this year when they could be looking to make an upgrade on the defensive line?
Yeah, I like those picks. I really do. There's a lot of defensive line talent out there to be signed. And, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback wasn't exactly one of our strong points last year. So,
not at all.
No, so I'm with you on that. Mike Daly has been signed. I know this. We have our safety. Taylor Loeffler is on the market, and he's just so good that if we could bring him in, I mean, no offense to Daly, but you bring a guy in like Loeffler, he just, the way he plays football, it reminds me of kind of like a Hitchcock. You know, he's going to throw those big hits, and he's just a hell of a football player, and I'd love to see him in black and gold. I think he'd fit the mold of the Ticats so well.
Yeah, the Craig Butlers and the Rob Hitchcocks. And yeah, like he would be the next in line in that succession. I don't think it happened. I really don't. But man, no. Oh man, would I like to see him here. Where else do you think the Cats could look to sort of fill some needs? Or where do you think they have some needs?
Well, I think that the, you know, it all depends on who resigns, obviously. But I think the linebackers might need some work. A guy that I looked at that, you know, isn't necessarily a position of need. You know, we're pretty good at receiver, but ever since Greg Ellingson left the Ticats, he's been a Ticat killer. I don't have to get into it. We all know this. I just think he's one of the best receivers in the league, and he may not necessarily fit the mold of the June Jones offensive scheme, but the guy's only 30 years old. He still has a lot of football left in him, and he's just a clutch player.
So I got a bit of breaking news here, Mike.
What?
It's not regarding our Ticats, but it's Mike Riley will sign a 4-year deal at around $700 per season with the BC Lions.
Holy moly.
Ryan Rashad, TSN, is reporting that right now. That's, that is a lot of coin.
$700. That's nice to hear that a player in the CFL is getting that much money. It's going to be, wow, that's big news, man. That kind of makes me a little sad, too, because now I won't be able to watch Mr. Riley play football in Edmonton, but wow, BC is going to be interesting next year.
Yeah, but that's a domino to fall. So now Edmonton needs a quarterback. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you talking about? I've been keeping Twitter open just in case there's any breaking news. So, anyway, what were we talking about?
Free agents. I was just talking about Ellingson and how
Ah,
I'd like to
yes,
see him
right.
back, even though he's not, we don't need him. But it'd be nice to bring him in. Offensive line. It depends on if Filer and who is the other? I'm blanking here.
No, it
The
was
other
Filer.
offensive
No,
lineman.
Riker Matthews. We're talking
Just
about Riker
Filer.
Matthews because he was gone.
Right,
Yeah.
it was Riker Matthews. He's gone. But a guy like Suk Chung, I mean, this guy is a beast. He's only 26 years old. Winnipeg's offensive line is one of the best last year. So to bring in a guy like that would be a pretty big pickup, I'd say.
I can't disagree with you on that either. Canadian receiver to me is an interesting position, I think, for the Cats because you look at the possibility of losing Mike Jones. Something we didn't talk about, but according to the CFL's transaction page, Justin Buehren has retired. We don't know about Mark Chapman, whether I don't think he's playing in the AAF, which is something we haven't discussed at all, and that kicked off over the weekend, but that's neither here nor there. But I don't think he ended up even going to the team. So,
Wow,
what's.
what's up with him?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like he didn't report to training camp. There was like some family thing. So, like, who knows what's going on there? So, the team could be in line for a new Canadian starting receiver. And there's a couple of names to me on the pending free agent list. Juwan Breskeson would have been my number one, but he re-signed with Calgary earlier on Monday. Nate Behar is an interesting guy because he held out with Edmonton when he was drafted and didn't really do much his rookie season, and then had okay numbers in his second season last year. But he's an Ottawa guy, so I think if he goes anywhere, he probably lands back in Ottawa. But a guy I'd really like to see if the Cats can't bring back Mike Jones, kind of an under the radar guy, someone who I think has the abilities to be a big time playmaker, to be a Mike Jones type in this offense, Shaq Johnson. I really, really like, in limited playing time with what I've seen from BC, I really like Shaq Johnson.
Yeah, it's an interesting pick, a little under the radar, as you said. I mean, Shaq Johnson is a fast dude that could probably make plays in this offense really well. So I can't argue with that pick at
Okay,
all.
can I tell you one guy that I actually do think is going to sign with us?
Go ahead.
Chris Rainey.
Right, yes. Kick returner.
Yeah, the
Right.
Ticats need an upgraded kick returner, and I think Chris Rainey not only would be an upgraded kick returner, no offense to Frankie Williams, but
Frankie was good last year. He was
he
good.
was good. And with Jeff Reinbold back, I expect special teams to be a lot better this year. And I look at Chris Rainey, who worked with Reinbold last year in BC. I feel like a change of scenery will be good for him. I believe he played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he's used to sort of this type of environment. Like, I look at the Steelers and I picture that they are the NFL's version of the Ticats, that, blue collar city, loves its defense, hard hits, yada yada yada. So
And
Rainey's
I don't
put
like them,
there.
which is weird. I don't like the Steelers.
That is weird. Do you have an NFL team? I don't think we ever talked about this.
I don't, no.
Well, no one's perfect. Anyway,
Yeah.
I really truly think, like, we've seen the Ticats not really do a whole bunch in free agency outside of re-signing their own guys. 2 years ago, I think their only signing was Abdul Kinne. Last year, literally their only free agent signing was Lyram Hirilahu. If the Ticats only sign one guy, I could see it being Chris Rainey.
And let's be honest, Chris Rainey's been the best return guy in this league for a couple of years now. He took the crown from Speedy B,
Sure.
3, 4 years ago. The guy is just a playmaker. So to have that dynamic return game again would add a lot of excitement to this Ticats team. It's something we've been missing now ever since Speedy B kind of fell off in that department.
So, before we stop talking about the Ticats and we get into the larger CFL free agents pool, are there any players that you'd like to see play in Hamilton or sign in Hamilton that we kind of haven't talked about, even if they're not necessarily at a position where you think the Ticats will sign someone? Is there any players or two that you're like, man, I've just really been a fan of theirs, I'd love to be able to cheer them on? Like, kind of how I was with John White last year. Like, when John White signed, I was really happy because I've always liked John White, so it was nice for him to be on our team. Anyone out there that you would like to see don the black and gold, even if it's wishful thinking?
Oh, wishful thinking. I've been watching Darrell Walker play in Edmonton now for a couple years. He is just tremendous. He's one of the best talents in the league.
Another guy that I can't believe isn't in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's not like he hasn't had his looks too. You know, he's been down there a couple times, I think. So, the rumor has it that he might follow Mike to BC. But if I, you know, had my choice at receivers, he would be probably near the top of the list. There's other ones too out there that, I mean, BJ Cunningham just got re-signed. You can't take him, but Daron Carter is a guy that's out there as well.
I want to see him here so badly just to watch Ticats fans' heads explode because he's what's a kind way of putting it? Controversial, even though I don't think that he has been controversial, but he has been a guy that has attracted a lot of attention. But he's a beast, and he was nearly a Ticat last year when all those receiver injuries happened before he signed with Toronto. There was a legitimate chance that Carter could have been here. I would love to see him as a Ticat. I think he can bring it on the field, but also just to see the reaction of Ticats fans who now have to go, oh my God, I have to cheer for Daron Carter. I think it would be worth every penny.
Well, we've been through the Chad Owens and all that, so you know it would be very interesting to see.
Yeah, remember how first I reacted with Chad Owens? Yes. That's how I feel like a lot of Ticats fans, even more so, would react to Daron Carter, because I think there's just like a visceral dislike of him, which I don't honestly really understand. I think he's just a goofy, fun-loving guy. I would love pairing him up with June Jones. You kidding me? That'd be great.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last year too. I think they'd mesh well. But one more guy that I'd on the wish list would be Grimey, Aaron Grimes.
Ooh, good call.
Because you know he's just
best halfback in the CFL bar none.
Yeah, and he's only 27 years old,
which is crazy. I feel like he's been around for like a decade.
Yeah, I feel like he should be at least 30.
Did he start in the CFL at 17? Because I feel like he's been around forever. In a good way, because he's been so good.
Yeah, so that – and also I'd like to cheer in a guy named Grimes. We could call him Grimey. No, Simpsons reference.
All right, last one for me, Kevin Glenn. Bring Kevin Glenn back. Let's have the Ticats win a Grey Cup. Glenn gets his ring here. I can get my Kevin Glenn jersey out of the box I have it stored in, and all can be right with the world with Kevin Glenn back at Tigertown.
You're going to be sighing under my breath.
Come on, man. How do you hate on KG?
No. KG curse. Oh, bring him in. Mazzoli gets injured for, you know, and then he's the starting quarterback, and he shows flashes of greatness and then falls apart when we get our hopes up. Nah.
There was no KG curse in Edmonton last year. Mike Riley didn't get hurt. I mean, the Eskimos didn't make the playoffs, but Mike Riley didn't get hurt.
Fair enough. I suppose he is a very, very good backup.
Yes, he is a very, very good backup. Okay, let's talk CFL-wise. Let's talk quarterbacks. So Mike Riley, it looks like, is pretty much gone to BC. So that means...
Wow. Sorry.
Yeah. So that means that opens up a position at quarterback in Edmonton. Who might fill that role? Bo Levi Mitchell is out there. So let's go down these quarterbacks. We were going to talk about Riley, but we can't now because it looks like that's basically a done deal. Bo Levi Mitchell, Mike, give me – this is the fun game I want to play. Give me where you think he's going to go and give me a place that you'd like to see it. Like what place would Mitchell going be the most fun? Like I'm not just talking about on the field, but just like Twitter reactions. Like just the general description of fun. Where do you think he is going? Where would it be the most fun that he went? We'll do this for a few of the quarterbacks here.
I think that he will end up back in Calgary. I think there's too many ties there. You know, they would be stupid not to throw the – I know the Calgary doesn't like to spend a lot of money on players, but, you know, throw the cash at Bo. I think eventually he will end up back there. But the funnest place is obvious. Saskatchewan, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's so hated there. And I don't blame them. I don't like the guy either. But, you know, just – the funnest place for him to go, just for like fans not of the Stampeders, would be the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I just think that would be so interesting.
You know where else I think would be interesting is Toronto. I think signing with the – especially if they bring back Daron Carter. You got Mitchell and Carter on the same team after all the yapping they did against one another for the last couple of years when Carter was in Saskatchewan. I feel like that'd be a fun combination. It would suck for the Ticats because, A, they've never beaten Bo Levi Mitchell. So there goes all those wins against the Argos. It would instantly make the Argos better. Like, the ultimate fun is, you're right, Saskatchewan. I think Toronto would be kind of fun for Mitchell, too. And I'm with you. I think it's either Calgary or the NFL. I don't know. I'd say it's 50-50 now on which a month ago I was saying Mitchell's gone to the NFL, but it looks like he's more into sticking around. So, and apparently, according to our boy Justin Dunk, he's willing to talk to other teams. Maybe he doesn't stay in Calgary, but I feel like that's probably the likely final landing spot for him if he sticks in the CFL. But yeah, I'm with you, dude. Saskatchewan, absolutely the most fun. What about Trevor Harris? Where do you think he ends up, and where would you like to see, or not like to see him end up, but where do you think it would be the most fun to see Trevor Harris land?
Well, with the, you know, I don't think he's going to sign with the Riplocks.
I don't think so either. I think he's gone. I think they're going to roll with Dominic Davis.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, it opens up the East. I think, as much as I said at the top of the show, Ottawa's the team to beat. It's been Burris and Harris that have done most of the damage against the Ticats. I'm not a big Dom Davis believer, to be if I'm being perfectly honest. So I think that's a major step down. But I think if we both agree he's not going to Ottawa, where do you think he is going?
Well, with the news coming out, you know, the report that Riley's signing with BC.
Say it, brother. Say it.
Edmonton. I mean, it does make sense, right? You know, he's not up to par with Riley, obviously, but, you know, it's a pretty good signing if Riley's gone. I think he has history with Moss.
Sure maybe. Does. They were on the same team in Toronto.
Right.
Moss was a QB coach when he came into the league with the Argos a few years back. So, right. No, exactly. I'm with you, dude. Edmonton's my pick, too.
And the GM was
right.
In Ottawa, too. So, yeah, I think that's the perfect fit. Riley slides out. Harris comes in. And, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback. I think he can do good things here at Edmonton.
Yeah. And we don't have to worry about him strafing the Ticats for 6 touchdown passes in the East Final if he plays for Edmonton.
Yeah, if he leaves Ottawa, I mean, we're going to – we could crush Ottawa for the next couple of years. That would be wonderful.
That would be nice. Where would you think – where would it be the most fun for Trevor Harris to land?
Fun. I don't think there is necessarily a huge fun spot.
I got
for
one.
Trevor Harris. Okay, go ahead.
Montreal.
Okay, I was leaning that way, but then I was thinking, you know, they got Manziel and they got...
Yeah, I don't think he will go there. I think the Owls look at themselves as not needing a quarterback. Whether you and I agree with that or not is a whole other kettle of fish. The reason I think it's fun is there's – what's the one thing that everyone's always talked about with Trevor Harris? Like, is he elite? Is he that good? Yada, yada, yada. Kind of got that monkey off his back with that wonderful performance in the East Final. Got Ottawa to a Grey Cup. We would really find out how good he was if he went to Montreal. Because if he could turn that team into even a 500 team, get his bust ready for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was going to say that I think we're going to find out how good Bo is, too. Like, honestly. Like, if he goes to Toronto, I know that, you know, you thought it'd be a fun idea. I know that there's no actual reports out there that he's going to go to Toronto. But if he goes to a lesser team, I would be very interested to see how he does without that stellar defense and, you know, awesome offensive line. He has tons of time in the pocket. I want to see what he's like with a little lesser team.
I don't disagree with you. So let's – I hate to use that as a segue in talking about other quarterbacks. But let's talk – we talked about – well, we didn't really talk about Riley because that's basically a done deal. We talked about kind of the two big fish remaining on the free agent pond. Let's talk about some of the other quarterbacks, the guys outside of that top tier. Zach Caleros is an interesting sort of conundrum because what Zach Caleros are you getting? Is he just the injury – is he the new Buck Pierce? Essentially, or can he find his way back to maybe he'll never get to that 2015, you know, level, but maybe he get to the 2014 level, maybe even the 2016 level. Those are two pretty good years that he had with the Ticats, if they weren't exactly the gonzo year he was having before he got hurt in 2015. Where do you think he might end up when all this is settled?
You know, I was thinking about that earlier. You know, Zach has really fallen off last couple of years, unfortunately. You know, being a guy that was maybe 1-2, 1-2-3, you know, Riley, Mitchell, and Caleros, you know, in 2015. But he's really fallen off. He's had his injury troubles. And I don't know if he's going to be a starting quarterback in this league anymore. You know, trying to think of who would be a good fit for Zach Caleros to go to, and not Winnipeg, you know, not BC, not maybe Edmonton. Like, if Trevor Harris doesn't come out here, maybe Edmonton would be a good spot for him to rejuvenate his career. I think that would be pretty interesting.
I don't disagree with you. I think Calgary could be a landing spot if Mitchell decides to go elsewhere. Toronto, maybe, going back to where kind of all began, and maybe getting a chance to be a starter again, battling it out with James Franklin for the number one job there. What about Ottawa? Like, I know they re-signed Dominic Davis. They lose Trevor Harris. Maybe they dip their toes. Like, Caleros is a difficult one to kind of peg.
Mm-hmm. It's and do you really want to go into the season with Dominic Davis as your starting quarterback? I mean, I know Zach's had his problems, but at least, you know, he's comfortable in the game. You know, there is that potential of, can he redeem himself? Can he get back to his old form? There's a chance that could happen still. I'm not sure it's a big chance, but I think that you'd have to come in with a little insurance, you know, not just having a rookie starting QB coming into your lineup at the start of the season.
Yeah, I agree. There's a ton of other quarterbacks on this list: Travis Lule, Kevin Glenn, Ricky Ray, Brandon Bridge. But in the interest of not making this a 60-hour podcast, I just want to talk about one more before we move on to some other positions. Jonathan Jennings. What was it, 2 years ago? I think you and I both said he'd be the MOP. Maybe it was 3 years ago. I can't remember how. But we were really high on Jonathan Jennings, and then he regressed big time. Where do you think you could see him land? I have a spot that I think he's going to land. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go first, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I think he's headed to the Riders. I think when all the dust settles, I think Riley goes to BC. I think Mitchell stays in Calgary. I think Harris goes to Edmonton. I think Caleros probably, if the musical chairs got to stop somewhere, I could see him in Ottawa. And I think Jonathan Jennings ends up with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Jennings has been quite the Rubik's Cube, hasn't he? He's been hard to figure out. Really hot first season. And then just, you know, the rest of the way, it's been really bad. You know, he's overthrowing receivers. You know, we're just waiting for his potential to come to fruition. It's just not happening. So it's interesting that there's a lot of quarterbacks out there to be, you know, signed to a team, you know, upper level guys, middle level guys, guys that aren't proven haven't proven that they can be starters, but there's quite a bit of talent out there to be had. Jonathan Jennings, I don't know if he can turn it around. I don't know if he can get back that rookie season that he had. I think he's a backup now in this league, which is, you know, he's a good backup to have, but I don't think he's a starter right now.
No, but I think, so we know BC, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Toronto, potentially Ottawa. I'm not sure about Montreal. So we'll say six. There's six teams that are likely in the market for a starting quarterback. So we know BC's off. They got Riley. Let's say Mitchell sticks in Calgary. So we take them off the list. That leaves Ottawa, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and why am I blanking on the other team that I just said? And I can't.
Montreal.
Calgary. Saskatchewan. You know what? Forget it. I can't believe it. But I think you guys, one of these guys, Kolaros and Jennings, because there's more spots than there are elite quarterbacks, one of these guys is going to have to be at least given a chance to start for a team. I think Jennings has fallen off tremendously, but I still think there's talent there. Maybe a change of scenery, maybe a new offensive coordinator could do wonders for him. Ottawa actually makes a lot of sense for him too. If they bring back Dom Davis, they bring in Jennings, that's this a similar style player. You give them similar style contracts and you say, let's try this out in camp and see who wins. And that's kind of how you roll with it. But at the same time, it's like, we've seen Riley sign the big deal. Mitchell probably, if Riley signed for 700, Mitchell's probably not getting any less than 650, if not even more than 700, because you could make the argument that with him being 6 years younger, him having two cups, two MVPs, two MOPs, you could make the argument that he's the guy you pay more. Harris is going to get a big deal too. You could see these second tier guys get kind of bumped up in salary and given a chance to start simply because there's more teams that need a quarterback than there are elite level quarterbacks available. So I don't know. I agree with you that I think Jonathan Jennings might never amount to the guy we thought he would. But at the same time, I think someone's going to take a shot on the potential and go, if we get him in our room, if we get him on our squad, we can mold him into the player that we saw just a couple of years ago.
Wouldn't it be nice if, I mean, for them, if they ever exist, but if there was this many free agent quarterbacks the year that the Atlantic Sooners come into the league, that would be a very good thing for them.
They would get extremely lucky in that case. But you know what I know, what I think of when we talk about all these quarterbacks? Man, how happy am I that we don't have to deal with this.
Yes,
we got our quarterback. I agree. Our guy's locked in. We know who's going to be starting for our team come June. It's nice to be able to watch this from afar and go, oh, not having to worry about who's coming. It's a very nice feeling.
Yeah. I mean, not have to worry about, oh, if we lose this guy, we're going to be a terrible team. It's very nice. And, you know, not to mention all the free agents we brought in already. It's been a very good week or two for the Tiger Cat fans.
All right, let's rapid fire very quickly some other positions here. Running back, there's a few guys on this list, Jeremiah Johnson, Tyrell Sutton. I think the big one's William Powell. Where do you kind of – you think you see him sticking in Ottawa, or does he take himself elsewhere?
I'm going to say he stays in Ottawa. Even if they lose the quarterback, I think that they, you know, have a solid offensive line that he can run behind. And, you know, he's made a name in Ottawa. So I think if they lose Trevor, maybe they'll have a little bit more money to spend on other positions. And maybe William Powell is one of the benefactors of that.
Okay, let's go to wide receiver. What is this? How does this sound to you, Mike? Trevor Harris leaves Ottawa to go to Edmonton. Darrell Walker leaves Edmonton and joins Mike Riley in BC. And Trevor Harris brings his buddy Greg Ellingson with him out to where you live. And Harris and Ellingson create that familiar magic in green and gold as opposed to red and black.
Yeah, I never thought about it, but that is a possibility. And, you know, they've had a connection in Ottawa, obviously. Ellingson's been tearing up the league. Trevor Harris has done a phenomenal job getting him the ball. So I think that would be a good little swap, you know. You lose Riley, probably the best quarterback in the league. I think he is at this point. But you bring in a guy like Trevor Harris, who is on the up in the Grey Cup last year. Had a terrible outing, obviously. But I think that transition would be, you know, pretty good, bringing in a guy like Trevor Harris and a talent like Greg Ellingson.
Tavares Daniels is an interesting case. He was Rookie of the Year just a few years ago. I don't think he's going to go back to Calgary. I don't know, man. Where do you think you could see him landing?
Well, I think that Saskatchewan is
not a bad pick.
Not a bad pick. Yeah, I mean, they're really hurting in the receiver position. It's funny, they were loaded to the teats like a year ago, and then are coming into training camp. It's like, what do they need all these receivers for? And now it seems like they don't have any. So that, I think, just out of need, the Saskatchewan Roughriders would be a good fit for him.
That makes sense. Canadian receivers, we talked about Shaq Johnson, talked about Nate Behar. Lamar Durant, who's a guy who was on a lot of people's radars come draft time a few years ago, he's free to test the waters. I could see him going to BC. Also wouldn't mind if the Ticats gave him a little poke. I don't think he's staying in Calgary just because Breskison signed there, and he probably signed for a pretty decent amount of money, which means they're probably ready to move on from Durant. I'm hoping Hamilton's in the mix for him if they don't sign Mike Jones, but I don't know. BC Lions make sense for a guy that went to Simon Fraser and is from out there. Am I crazy True. There?
No, you're not crazy. And, you know, I've been high on Lamar Durant ever since he was drafted. I know that the year that he came out, we were both, you know, expecting big things from him. And I think that potential's still there. And I think he can be, you know, a top-level Canadian talent, Canadian receiver in this league. So whoever gets him, I think, is going to be, you know, it's going to be the prime of his career the next couple of years coming up, and I think he's going to really perform well.
I agree with you there. We talked about Sook Chung. Rumors is he's not staying in Winnipeg. Rumors are he might be going to BC too. Where's BC getting all this money from?
That's a good question. I mean, 700 grand for a quarterback is, you know, is not that it's not deserved, but that's a chunk of change taken out of the salary cap. You know, they want to bring in Darrell Walker. He's not going to come cheap either. So yeah, they're going to be spending a lot of money in BC.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see what the Lions do. Cause if they get a guy like Darrell Walker, if they bring in a Sook Chung, we know they're going to get Mike Riley. I say no, and we're going off a report here, but everyone's now right. Sort of jumping on board saying this is a done deal. They go from a team that got absolutely mollywopped by the Ticats in the East Final to, dare I say it, maybe the favorites in the West?
Yeah, I mean, they could be. And it's funny, like, I think the Bombers really need to sign Sook Chung back because, you know, Goosen retired unexpectedly. If they lose Chung too, that's going to be two pretty big holes in that offensive line. So I think that the Blue Bombers would do best to offer him, you know, a pretty good deal.
Let's talk defensive line for a second. Lots of guys here, especially from Saskatchewan. Toby Antiga, Mikhail Brooks, Willie Jefferson. We talked about Jagera Davis and Sean Lemon. But I think the big guy that we haven't talked about yet, Micah Johnson, maybe the best interior defensive lineman in the CFL. I know we love our Ted Laron here in Hamilton. Micah Johnson's an absolute stud. Also a guy who's been rumored to go to BC. So, man, if the Lions just sign everyone, they're going to be a freaking all-star team.
Yeah, I think people want to play for Clay Brooks. I mean, he seems like a player's coach to me. And obviously he knows what he's doing with that defense last year, or last couple of years in Calgary. So, yeah, people are excited about this BC team. Players want to play for their organization right now. I think they're on the turnaround.
Here's a guy that, you know what, we should have brought up when we're talking about guys I want to see in black and gold. Chris Ackey, Canadian linebacker, so versatile, can play pretty much every position in the secondary, can play pretty much every position in the linebacking core. An absolute stud, a guy who is just about ready to absolutely explode. I'd love to see him in Hamilton. Mike, tell me I'm crazy and that you don't love Chris Ackey.
Oh, Chris Ackey's a tremendous player. You said he's Canadian too, so you know, to bring him into Hamilton would be, I would not cry about that signing, that's for sure.
What about, we talked about Taylor Loeffler, another guy who has been linked to the BC Lions. So,
wow.
Like, where are they getting this money from? There's no way all these guys, like we talked about Darrell Walker, Mike Riley, Sook Chung, Micah John, there's no way they could bring all these guys back and or bring all these guys in, can they? Taylor Loeffler too? Like, you're going to tie up
like 40%
of your cap in like nine guys.
All those players you just mentioned are going to want hefty salaries. If they did manage to sign all these players, I mean, somehow keep it under the cap, that would be tremendous job by Ed Hervey bringing in talent.
And they
But,
have
you know, they can't.
Bola Combo's, or they have Solomon Alamimian still under contract, who's getting paid a pretty penny. And Bola Combo, another Canadian linebacker, who was a stud. Go look at his numbers from last year. Beastly numbers. He's a guy that's a free agent. They probably want to try to bring him back. Like, I don't know, man. Like, if the Lions can get all the guys that are linked to the Lions, and they re-signed Brian Burnham, man, they're
Right.
gonna they I will they won't go undefeated, but I can see a lot of Lions fans thinking that this team's as could be loaded and could make a run at 18-0.
And hopefully the hype train, you know, takes over Vancouver and people start showing up for games again and pack that stadium, at least the lower bowl. But yeah, that's a it's an interesting thought to see all those players sign with BC. It would be, you know, they would be like the new favorites in the West for sure.
So we started this show off talking about cocaine suspensions. We ended up talking about everyone going to BC. Free agency was supposed to be ho-hum this year because of no CBA, but with all the recent
right.
re-signings, with the Mike Riley news that broke mid-show, man, it looks like it's just going to be business as usual. Free agent frenzy starts on Tuesday, and it looks like it's going to be crazy like it is every year.
Yep. Tomorrow is the big day. And, you know, Brian Burnham signed a big contract in BC, too. I think he got around $200,000. So that's
yeah, where are they getting this money from?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm looking for – because as we expected, there – I mean, we thought that this would be pretty bland free agent day – free agent week or whatever you want to call it. It's but it's looking like players are going to sign, except for maybe some that are nonstop complaining on Twitter, but we won't get into that.
No, we won't get into that. It's just the free agent frenzy is upon us, and if the BC Lions sign everyone that they're linked to, I want to see their books because I want to know how they're under the cap.
Yeah, I would like to see those books as well because – yeah, that's a lot of talent on that team.
And if they can't sign anyone, that means these guys have got to sign somewhere else. Maybe it opens the door for our Ticats to get a couple of these guys inked. But we'll have to wait and see. That is for, I guess, next week's show when you and I sit down and discuss all the happenings throughout free agency.
Yes, and this time I'll remember we have a show.
Yeah. Don't fall asleep on the couch this time. But you know what? It's a fun time of the year. It feels like it was just yesterday. You and I were sitting side by side at the Grey Cup. Now we're already at free agency. Mike, before you know it, the season will be here, and we'll be going, how did it get here so quickly?
Yep, and another 8-10 or 9-9 season. I'm ready to go, Josh.
Well, let's wait until after free agency and after the draft to see what this team looks like. Then we'll make our season predictions, and you can be all pessimistic Paulie and pick them to go under.
It doesn't matter what they do, Josh. My prediction will not change.
Okay.
Maybe they will win the Grey Cup, but they will not be above 500. I'll guarantee you that.
Okay, that you guarantee? Well, we should make a bet.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll come back with something. Maybe not next week, but before the season starts, we'll come up with a bet. Because I'll take the over on that. I'll take 500 or better.
Okay.
Especially
well, I'll take 500 or under.
Well, you can't have 500.
Yes. Well, I said there it's 8 or 10 and 9 and 9.
Okay, then so. I will take – so I got to take over. Shit, I don't know if that's good. 9 and 9 sounds yeah. about right. But you know what?
You know. You know.
I do.
You know I'm right.
I think you might. Anyway – that is PodsQB for this week. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.